Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbying. But as long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
720 WGN, Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris in the Allstate Skyline Studios.
I feel like I should start swing dancing.
The biggest snow of the year.
Biggest snowfall of the year. Fifth largest snowfall
this fall.
In November.
Really?
Yeah.
I shoveled today. I want everybody to know. It's kind of a workout day for me when I see that it's going to be snowing.
Well, and this is that heavy, thick, wet snow that they've been...
It's heart attack snow, Jane.
Exactly. Warning anybody who's shoveling to be careful when you're shoveling. Don't lift too much. And yep. Also then warning kids, it's great packing snow.
I woke up at 5:30 this morning, took the dog out, fed the dog, and then I shoveled.
That's great, Pete.
I shoveled down the sidewalk. I shoveled my neighbor's walk, my other neighbor's walk.
Why didn't you come over and
alley.
Shovel my back alley?
I love it.
Do you shovel the alley?
You live in the city, right?
I do. I live in the city.
About 5:30 this morning, you had, what, a half an inch of snow?
Yeah.
There was nothing out there.
I'll give you props, Pete, but come on. I know a guy drove 3 hours from Itasca to get
down. We had maybe 2 inches, but it was heavy. And the point is, I was up in attic.
So what you're trying to tell us is that was your workout.
Because you always
like to tell us about your workout.
Thank you.
I had a tree branch so big down on my driveway, I had to drive through my lawn to get out this morning.
I'm glad you brought that up because I picked up the branches in my neighborhood. I did.
Is that right? Because of the wind.
Yep.
Yeah.
The heaviness of the snow. And
And it was a thunder snow last night. It's always very exciting.
It was. I mean, just the anticipation of the snow, I think, was worse than the snow.
No. I think that the snow was really bad. Maybe not downtown, maybe not in the south suburbs, but definitely like Woodstock got hit really bad.
Right.
All of those northwestern
Winnebago
suburbs.
County.
Yeah.
Shelled.
I mean, but think about the flights. Like, Kurt's stuck in Buffalo. Everything canceled.
Your fiance still there?
My daughter was supposed to fly to L.A. last night. And so we changed the flight upon suggestion because the weather would be better today.
Right.
Her flight left last night, no problem, and she's sitting there now trying to get out.
I mean, it looks perfect outside right now, but this morning when it was snowing on the trip in, what is it? People forget how to drive in the snow, but they forget how to merge into traffic. I don't understand how you forget to merge.
Well, I mean,
you got to take turns.
What are you saying? That they're just driving recklessly? I feel like I got out in the snow and I thought to myself, my car's not that great, so I'm going to just take this slow and I don't care who's behind me.
Right.
Maybe people are worried about this merge and that they're going to slam into the semi next to them.
Well,
you're a road rager.
The merge, you have to take turns. People don't like to take turns in this weather. They just like to keep going and keep going slow. You got to slow down to let the cars in where you merge in.
Did you have trouble with that today,
I did.
Pete?
Yeah. I did.
Did that
I had to stop
angry?
On the ramp. It drove me crazy.
Yeah.
It's like,
you should have taken an Uber and let someone else worry about the merge.
No, I can't do that.
You left early enough to get here on time, so that's great.
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely
I didn't mind driving. It was fine. I had 2 blocks to go.
Lower Wacker.
Love it.
Just east of Columbus on Lower Wacker. It looked like a war zone. There was 2 stalled cars and a down porta potty. Anybody see that? The down porta potty was in the middle of the road.
Why didn't you call me? I didn't report it.
There is a down porta potty just
right now, still?
I drove in 90 minutes ago.
Ooh.
I got here at 8:30.
Wait, Mary, can you report on Lower Wacker? Because I'm always listening for the Lower
no,
Wacker.
No, I'm not talking Lower Wacker, middle Lower Wacker.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, right here by Columbus.
Right here.
Right underneath us, actually.
Right.
Well, that wind was crazy. I'm not surprised that the porta potty was flipped over.
That's kind of nasty. Did the door open?
So there's a down porta potty, Mary.
Oh, thanks.
If you want to report that, I'm here to help. We have a fun show for you today, Cyber Monday. We're going to talk to Steve Burness from the BBB. Are you ordering online today?
I want to order online. I'm looking for something to buy, but I'm not sure that there's going to be that many great deals.
I feel like
I just want to buy something because it's Cyber Monday. I buy stuff every other day on Cyber Day.
Why should today be any different?
Well, I can't find out what I want to buy today. I'm going to Google during the show what I want to find.
Loyola won the state championship again.
Loyola Academy.
A Loyola Academy in Wilmette. We'll talk to Coach John Holasek at 11:05. I've known John for a few years, and it was a big win. It was a big win. Yeah.
Congratulations to them.
Yes.
Then they probably have the school day off today because of the snow.
You know what? That's a good question. We'll have Jazzy check as we take a break. It's Pete and Jane, 720 WGN. WGN, Pete and Jane in the Allstate Skyline Studios, in for Bill and Wendy, who are back tomorrow. If you've been following me on social media over the holiday break,
or right before Thanksgiving, we were on the air talking about your big swollen knee.
I couldn't walk on Tuesday.
So you were here limping around,
right,
and you had a brace on it. And then, of course, on social media, because you like to share with everybody what's going on with your knee. You're at the doctor's office.
Do you know how much an MRI costs? What do you think?
I don't know.
Just ballpark. Just guess.
$50.
$50. An MRI is $4,800.
Wow.
So if you have typical insurance, you know, it covers most of it, but there's an out-of-pocket cost.
And that was?
Mine was $724.
And was it then that important for you to get that MRI?
Well, that was the conversation that I had with my wife. It was scheduled for this past weekend, and we were driving to Peoria on Wednesday talking about this.
So
my wife's like, $724, are you sure you want to do this? Are you positive?
Sometimes if you just run or move on the knee, it feels better.
But my knee is giving out, and I've had probably 5 knee surgeries in my life, and 3 on my right knee, which is the one that's injured right now.
Oh, so the pictures that you showed everybody with the syringe and the sucking out all the liquid, wasn't the MRI. That was just a relief?
I went in on Tuesday, and they drained my knee.
Great. So what did you do with all that liquid?
You know what? I thought they would send it away to get tested, but what do you test it for? I mean, there's really nothing to test for. They
DNA.
Just toss it. I don't know. They throw it away.
Me. Well, Pete, I had a dream last night about your knee. And I woke up this morning, a very vivid dream about your knee. And I knew that it was fine when I woke up this morning, because in my dream, you know how you like to be a part of shows, like you were on the Love Boat and you walked on appearance at some show in a bar because you know everybody.
Right.
And you like to just be in it.
Yes.
Like I was on the show. Well, you somehow got yourself into being a dancer for the opening segment of an award show. And you were wearing black pants and like a button-up shirt, kind of like you're wearing right now. And it was you and 9 other guys. And it opened the show, and I was watching. Yeah, I didn't have good seats because you didn't help me out. But you did this great. You were moving just fine. And your opening dance in this award show, and you're like, Jane, I'm gonna sit over here because we're gonna go out again and dance. So I know, like, oh, his knee must be fine if he's out there dancing.
That's interesting, because a dream expert would say, how'd you feel in the dream? How'd you feel?
Well, one of my other friends was there, and she was trying to do like a makeover on my head, and I was totally uninterested because I wanted to watch you dance and I wanted to watch the show. So I felt a little annoyed because you wanted to do my hair, but yet I was watching you dance. And you were really good. You did some kind of slide, like you'd slide into second base.
I wish. I hate the fact that...
By the way, never dream about you.
Well, this is awkward. I hate the fact that we live in a world now where you have to think to yourself, okay, should I go in and get an MRI and maybe have surgery, or do I save the money?
So what did you do? Doesn't your insurance pay for it?
It just
have to pay the $700.
This is out of pocket now.
Yeah.
$724.
What does your doctor say?
He said, get the MRI. We can't tell what it is.
Well, then get the MRI.
I did.
Oh, good.
I went in Saturday morning.
And? I mean, according to my dream, you're fine.
But here's the thing. If it's fine, my wife's going to say, I told you so. You should have just waited a few days.
No.
You should have just waited.
Listen, if your health is more important than $700, I realize that's a lot of money. But
considering my past history with multiple knee surgeries, and it's always going to be in the back of my head if I start exercising again.
You'll make $700 doing something.
Okay. Can you call up Sarah, my wife,
yes,
about that?
I'll text her right now.
What would you have done? Would you have gotten the MRI?
Yeah, for sure.
That's what you said to her. I go, Sarah, if this was
Barbara
you, you wouldn't even
Zuras
blink.
Would absolutely say, go get that done. Just because you think about, you know, as you age, if there's something going on with that joint, you don't want a knee replacement, then
right.
You're out of the game.
Yes.
So let's get that fixed while we can. You know, your body talks to you. If there's something wrong with your body, then you got to go get it fixed.
Listen to your body. Every doctor says that. You know, I know the host of Living Healthy Chicago, which airs Saturdays at 9 a.m.
She's a bright one, isn't she?
She is a bright one, and she says, listen to your body.
Your body wants to heal.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then I went to Peoria and just ate like crazy. I ate. I grazed all day. Yes.
I know, but that's so great. I ate a lot too, but then I feel like I didn't eat a lot. We had 30 people, and what was so cool is that Kurt's sister-in-law Molly set up their entire, like, I don't know, dining room, and she had rented tables and she just decked them all out. So 30 people in one room. It just felt like this community of love, and it was so fun.
Where did you sit? Were you at the big table since you're engaged?
No, there were three 8-foot tables.
Mm-hmm.
It, all in a row, and then they had one circle table for the kids in the foyer.
I should have taken a picture because we ran out of room at my mother's house. We had a kids' table in the basement. We had the dining room table for the adults. We had another table in the family room for the college kids. Then you had the kitchen people, just the stragglers.
Right. Did they stand and eat over the sink?
I stood and ate over the garbage can.
Oh, see, now, so...
I had nowhere to sit.
She made sure there was a spot for everybody. So we all got to sit together, and then we all stayed in that room and did a talent show.
Mm-hmm.
There was a piano. Can anyone play the piano? This would be so much fun.
What did you do after Thanksgiving dinner? We talked about this on Tuesday. What do people do?
No, this was this day with these people. Before dinner was food or games,
right.
Excuse me, and the grazing and games.
Okay.
Like games, like domino games, whatever. Then it was a big dinner. Then there was a talent show. And then they have this tradition. It's called Moneyball. And they wrap up some money. And it's literally wrapped in cellophane, aluminum foil, paper bags, plastic bags, and they wrap it into a ball the size of like a medicine ball, and you wear gloves and a hat and you try to tear it open and you have to roll dice. The kids tackle each other. It was really fun. I did not do it. I watched.
I love it.
And then after that was charades. So it was like every part
it
of the day.
Keeps going.
Yeah. We left at midnight.
My mother has a bar in her family room.
Ooh.
One of those pleather circular.
I saw the picture
of you at
the bar.
It looks like a blackjack table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My brother Pete had one of those.
She's headed forever, so we hang out at that little bar, and then you start playing blackjack, and you're having some drinks. And
do you guys ever play charades? Boys against girls?
No.
Oh, it was fun. You know, I'm going to tell you about Moneyball. You should do that next year.
I love it.
Yeah.
How about Pictionary? We've done that.
Pictionary's fun, but then you have to have the pad of paper.
What's wrong with that?
Well, if you don't have it, then charades is a lot easier.
I like hanging out at the pleather bar in the family room. You can watch football.
What did you drink? What did you drink?
I drank vodka soda. Jane.
Oh.
And I think I had some type of hot toddy type drink.
That's great.
Somebody was making a special Thanksgiving drink.
Yeah, I stuck with champagne and wine, and it was great. I drank it all night long.
Gosh.
Yeah. But then...
Here's the thing. You eat, you drink on Thanksgiving, and at 8 o'clock you want to go to bed.
Well, and then you're tired, but you stay up because everyone's there having a blast. But what I noticed, and I was telling you about this, is you bring all those pumpkin pies, and I made a blueberry pie, and there's someone else made an apple crisp, and then they had a peanut butter pie, whatever. By the time you're done eating Thanksgiving food, you don't really even taste the dessert.
I know. I didn't pack myself so I could have dessert, and then I ate again about an hour and a half later.
Oh, you had more Thanksgiving food later.
I did.
Yeah. So I saved my dessert. I ate dessert that night, but then I ate it again the next day when I can really enjoy the flavors.
How long can you have the Thanksgiving leftovers?
Mm.
Because Betty Ann sent some carryout with the turkey.
They say leftovers 5 days.
If you're a single...
I would freeze them.
If you're a single guy, you can go for a month. But yeah, usually it's 5 days, right?
You know, a lot of people, if you have all those people over for the family, you're going to use them within the next 3 days. I saw one really cool recipe. They take everything. They take the carrots, the mashed potatoes, the turkey, and they put it into like one little meat patty.
Mm-hmm.
And they make a little smashed, you know, almost like a patty.
Right.
And then they fry it up.
I'll eat anything.
So good.
Seriously.
Yeah,
I'll eat anything.
Especially all mixed together.
312-981-7200 is our phone line. Also our text line. It's Pete and Jane in for Bill and Wendy. 720 WGN. Are you in the Christmas spirit, at least?
Well, with the snowfall, put my Christmas tree up, I am.
Pete and Jane in for Bill and Wendy. Cyber Monday means some great deals and, of course, some terrible scams. You need to be aware of the scams out there. We are joined by our good friend Steve Burness from the BBB. Go to BBB.org. Steve, how are you? Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Good morning. Thank you.
This is a big day, man. Everybody's going to be ordering online. You need to be aware of the scams. I already went to your website, and I saw some big ones up there. There's one about pop-up shops, which makes sense, and I didn't even think about it.
Yeah, the pop-up shops, one of those that is come out of nowhere, the stores that come out of nowhere, and they have this online presence or a pop-up ad, and you know nothing about them. And secondly, more importantly, that pop-up ad could be lead you to some other site where they have malware and spamware on it. So we always, the Better Business Bureau always suggests that you deal with companies you know and trust, and go directly to the websites directly yourself, not being led by either an email or a Facebook posting or a Facebook message, and go directly to the site yourself and be very careful of not clicking on any links that you're not familiar with.
And Steve, I've been leery about buying something on a particular retailer's website because I don't know that it's secure, but I'll go to some of the bigger ones like Amazon or, yeah, I don't know, the ones that are selling everything. But, you know, do I want to go to these smaller sites and buy? And are they just as safe? I mean, and I mean, when I say smaller sites, retailers that you may be able to find on an Amazon, but yet they have their own stores.
Well, that's the reason you got to check them out first ahead of time, make sure they are verified and responsible. So, in other words, you got to figure out, you know, are they a trustworthy site? Just by having an online presence doesn't make them a good business. You have to do some research on them and do some due diligence on them. I mean, obviously, checking with the Better Business Bureau, but also putting the company's name into a Google search engine and putting the word scam next to it and see what pops up.
Is that what you do?
Yeah, that's how you could tell if other consumers on other message boards or other customer review sites and whether or not they had any issues with them in any way or shape or form, because sometimes these websites are across the globe. You know, somebody in a coffee shop just trying to steal your money. We've seen a lot last year, the Better Business Bureau has seen a lot of fraudulent sites, including some major, like Prada, you know, purses and those things. They just had a few characters changed, and they were fake. So you have to do some due diligence.
You don't think of the pop-up shops. What if you have to return something? Usually there are no returns, right, with the pop-ups?
Well, sometimes refunds and exchanges is a privilege, not a right in the state of Illinois. So you have to remember that. So, yes, sometimes they have no refunds exchanges. Sometimes they do. So you have to ask that question ahead of time, whether you're going to a big box retailer or anyone else. But, again, if you're buying from somebody popping up on the Internet knowing nothing of them, you know, some of these websites don't even have an address or a phone number. I mean, how do you do any checking on them? So we always suggest you do some checking and deal with sites that you know and recognize and you have done business with in the past.
And even if these sites have that verified logo, verified safe, verified secure, I'm still leery about ordering from anywhere else.
Your safest bet is using your credit card. Obviously, you have your best protection. Even over a debit card, we suggest you use your credit card instead of a debit. But secondly, more importantly, the hackers find a way to get into systems. Even though you're supposed to look at sites with HTTPS on there, we have been informed recently that that's not 100% accurate. I mean, sometimes these scammers can have these sites that look like an HTTPS. So your safest bet is using your credit card and dealing with companies that you know about and check them out with the Better Business Bureau first.
Steve Burness from the Better Business Bureau on the phone with us. You can go to BBB.org. How about gift cards? We all give gift cards around the holidays.
Gift cards are great. You know, they work wonders for people. You've got to be very careful. Now we're hearing scammers are actually going to stores, scratching off the back code, taking the code off the back of the card, and then putting a new film cover over it to make it look like it wasn't tampered in any way. So you just got to be very careful, know the retailer you're doing business with, and register the cards as much as possible. But again, they don't expire like they did in the old days where you just lose the value. But you got to look at the fine print on the back, because a big print giveth and a little print taketh away. So you may have some charges initially when you buy the card that you may not be aware of unless until you purchase the card, like a service fee.
How do the smaller shops survive if all of us are going online to buy something, whether it be a gift card or a gift, And when I'm leery, it could be the best small shop ever, and they could be totally trustworthy, but I'm not going to buy it because I think they're going to scam me.
Right.
So how do these
little guys
survive?
There's a lot of scammers out there, but there's a lot of good businesses out there, so you have to remember that, and you are protected by your credit card purchases. As long as you go to the site yourself directly and type in the URL, don't be led into a site by an email or a Facebook posting or a Facebook message. Going to the site directly, making certain you read their privacy policy and you know and check them out ahead of time before doing business with them, you're probably safe. Again, there's going to be breaches and hacks and things of that nature, but you will be protected by your credit cards. It's going to take some time to clean up the matter.
And that can happen if you just go into the store anyway. Remember one of the outlets, you swipe your credit card and they took
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
I said it could happen anywhere.
It could.
You could, your
yeah.
credit
but
card could get
if it's
swiped.
Too good of a deal online, if it's too good to be true, it is too good to be true. It's got to be a scam.
It happened last year with all those fake websites. I mean, these prices were half off and people were buying them. Oh, yeah. It's like, well, you should have realized by being half off something is wrong. There's a tip off to the rip off, and that's it. If you can't get it in the offline world, you're not going to get it in the online world just because it's somebody in a coffee shop and across the globe somewhere, you know, laughing, saying anything you want to hear and taking your credit card information.
By the way, this is all on BBB.org. Steve Burness on the phone with us. What is the secret sister gift? I just heard of this when I went to your website. Jane, have you heard of this?
I'm just reading about it.
Secret
I haven't heard of
it. Sister gift.
It sounds like something I'd like.
Right.
Secret sister.
It's not. It's illegal. It's illegal by told to us by the Postal Inspection Service. Basically, it's those Facebook postings saying that, you know, almost like the old days of a chain letter. Send one gift to those five people, and then you'll get 30 gifts in return from other people. It's like a chain letter, and unfortunately, it's illegal, and it doesn't work. So if anybody sees it on the internet, it popped up about a few weeks ago, and it's gone crazy. But it seemed to simmer down a little bit, but it should pick up right after, obviously, Cyber Monday, and tomorrow's Giving Tuesday as well.
That's crazy that somebody falls for stuff like this.
Well, you know, you're sitting on your computer, have nothing else to do.
Hey, send a gift for $10, and we'll send you 36 back. Really?
I didn't even do the chain letters when it was like, here, read this.
I forgot all about the chain letters.
Or put it in the mail.
Hey, let's keep this thing going, man.
Yeah.
Keep doing it.
Now, Steve, they're predicting sales of over $7 billion online today compared to any other day or even Black Friday when you're going in the store. I'm not seeing that many great deals.
That's what we're hearing. There are some great deals, but consumers overall are just trying to get going, and obviously a lot of people are delayed in getting to work today. So hopefully the deals will come later. But again, the $7 billion, the scammers hear that, and they're going to go where the money is at as well. So just be careful. Shop online, but just check out the offer first.
Any other scams that we need to know about today, Steve?
Well, obviously, anytime you're using your computer, you got to make sure your computer is protected. And a lot of times we're seeing recently where they call you up and saying they're calling from Microsoft or they're calling their tech support company. They realize you have a virus on your computer and they just need access to your computer and pay us a fee and we'll clear your computer. That's happening a lot to tech support scams. Nobody's going to call you out of the blue and tell you you got a scam. And Bill Gates is not going to call you and tell you that you got a virus in your computer. They can clean it up for $500. They just want access to your computer to take the information and put some malware in your system. So just be careful. And we have the antiviruses. Make sure you update them. Just having them on there doesn't do any good unless you update them and run those services as much as possible.
And never, ever, ever give your credit card information out over the phone or your social security number
or
online.
Email.
Yes.
Yes. Never. Yeah, information. Well, if you're buying something in your credit card, you can give your credit card, but unless you make the call, somebody's not going to call you out of the blue asking for your credit card number, and a bank has your numbers already, and never, ever give your Social Security number off. And anybody who wants to do something in 30 minutes or less, that's usually the tip-off to the rip-off. The only thing you should do in 30 minutes is get a pizza, and that's about it. Anybody calling you saying you're going to jail, you're going to be arrested, or whatever it may be, or we need your credit card number, or you got to give us gift card, and back numbers of gift card quickly, that's usually the sign of a ripoff. And never, ever wire money outside the country to anybody you didn't know.
Yeah. I've gotten those calls that say, you have to call us now. You are in trouble and you're going to jail. This is a recording. Yeah. And I'm like, what did I do?
Right.
But I don't call them back.
And the reason they stay in business because people still continue to fall for that. Again, the 30-minute rule should apply. Anybody tells you to do something quickly and quickly. Even sometimes we've got scammers, the fake utility companies calling from People's Gas or ComEd saying, we're going to shut your heat and your electricity off unless you pay us. And businesses are doing it.
Have you guys received the scam emails saying that they have your password and if you don't give it up, they need some money?
Yes, we get those things. That's phishing emails. Those are really terrible phishing emails. And that's actually are now worse. They're saying, the security experts are saying, phishing emails are worse than breaches now because it's in mass quantities. They can send out millions of emails, and somebody will click on that link and follow it and then put mail and spareware on your computer. So, again, if you receive an email to do something quickly, don't click on the link. Check out that offer or service, whatever it may be, because phishing emails are big problem, especially with breaches, because you can allow that into your company. If you click on a phishing email and it gets past your security protection, it can affect your whole company. Remember in Northern Suburbs a few months ago where the administrative assistant gave out everybody's social security or W-2 form?
That's right.
It was just a phishing email. Yep. She thought she was listening to it. And even if it's coming from your boss, because it doesn't, they're getting smart. They're calling it, really, this phishing now is spear phishing, where they target individuals with their names. Yeah. So the New York BBB got an email from me saying, buy gift cards for my staff and I'll pay you back. It went from me to, allegedly, to the CEO there, and it looked like it was coming from me. So the scammers can do it to the Better Business Bureau. They can do it to anybody.
And they're copying logos, too, to make it look like real. But if you click on the name, and then it'll drop down and show you the email address.
Right.
So it would be at bbb.org or whatever.
Right.
It would say from xyz.com/MNO. You know what I mean? It's not even a valid email address. So that's how you know.
But sometimes on mobile phones, unfortunately, you don't have the access like you could do on a regular computer. So you can't really tell. So we suggest you wait until you get to a PC where you can hover over it and see where the email is going to.
So when you say click on an email, you mean click through the link they've added to the email? Because sometimes I get so nervous that I'll see some weird sort of email coming at me. I don't even want to open it up.
Yeah, I'm worried about the links inside of the email. But if you don't know the person that emailed you, don't even open it up.
No, I just delete them.
Exactly. If somebody really wants to get you something, or if you believe somebody emailed you a file, call them up and verify first, because that's how those scams start. With those, it's just like a breach. Once you get into a corporate account like that, they can go through everybody's computers and even the corporation.
Like them using your name. Like if I got an email from you, I'd open it up.
Right.
Right. Yep. That's called spear phishing now, where they actually have the name. So they, I said, they used the BBB. They said that they emailed the New York BBB using my name.
Don't open any more emails.
What
don't
is
open
going
any
on?
Attachments. Don't give out any information. Just stay at home in your basement. Okay, that's what we want you to do.
Knowing how to stay inside.
Steve Burness, go to bbb.org. If you don't see it on their website, of course, they can email you, right, Steve?
Yes, they can email us at chicagobb.org.
You're the best, man. Have a great holiday.
Thanks, Steve. Happy
holidays. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. It's Pete and Jane in for Bill and Wendy at 720 WGN. I send Omaha Steaks almost every year.
Do you?
I do.
To all the siblings?
Well, no.
What a great gift.
You get steaks in the mail, there's nothing better. That's one of my favorite gifts.
Well, I think it's a great gift because, it's like the gift that you don't know what to get someone who has everything.
Do you give wine over the holidays?
I do.
How about champagne? Do you give champagne?
Of course.
You just...
That's an easy gift.
And just put the bow around it?
No, of course not. I make a denim sleeve out of an old pair of jeans.
Oh,
and I do an iron-on Santa Claus on it.
I'm sorry, I forgot who I'm talking to.
And then
Susie Homemaker.
I add in a wine opener.
Miller High
Life.
It's
a very cute gift.
You know Miller Beer?
Of course.
The champagne of beers?
Yeah.
Miller High Life is selling champagne of beers in champagne bottles for the holidays. So your Miller High Life will come in a champagne bottle.
That's great.
That's a great gift.
It's a great gift. If you're a beer drinker... And you like it, then
it's got the foil on the top and the whole deal.
Special.
Right. So I think that would be a great gift.
I would get it. I would open it up expecting champagne. It would be beer.
I mean, you're saving yourself money.
Yeah.
I feel like every time you have to stop at someone's house, you have to bring
something.
Right.
So here's what you do this week. You stock up, or last week, you stock up on all the wines, champagnes, beers, whatever you need, liquors.
Yep.
Put them in a separate location other than your bar.
Yep.
So when you need to go somewhere, you just grab that.
I did that last year, and my wife drank half of it. I buy a case of wine every Christmas because everywhere you go, you have
buy
to bring
some
a bottle.
For your wife, and then you put some put them in a hiding place.
I did, and she found it.
We can't get some extra for her, Pete.
There's only so many places you can hide stuff at your house.
Well,
especially a case
my
of
house,
wine.
Not your house.
You ever show up empty-handed to a party?
It's so awful.
You can't.
No.
Awkward.
Awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think sometimes if you want to go the extra mile, you just add something onto that wine gift. Mm-hmm. I like to add a little homemade onto everything.
This time of the year is so expensive.
I know.
It is.
This is the tipping time.
It is.
Yep.
I mean, you got to save up all year round.
Just to tip. But, yeah. Yes. You have to give gifts or tip.
I mean,
it's expensive.
Gifts,
but we're going into it now with a good mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when do you tip everybody? The week before Christmas?
When you see them. Like if it's a hairdresser, you may not see that person. If you're going mid-December, you may not see him before the holidays. So you got to do it then.
You have to time it. So I always get my hair cut then on December 26th.
So you don't have to give him a tip.
Come on,
you
man.
Still give him a tip.
If you're getting your hair cut.
Mailman.
And how much do you tip for your haircut for the holiday tip? The price of a haircut or half of it?
What?
How much do you tip for your holiday tip? For the person that cuts your hair.
The price of the haircut or half of it.
Yeah.
So I have a whole set amount. I get my hair done a lot. So I have a whole set amount. So now I'm going to have to increase that amount. However, I feel with hairdressers, we see them all year round and we're always tipping them, that they just need, their break to us is to not have to tip. Get them something. But your delivery guys and your dog sitters and all those people, you have to tip because you never
UPS, give
them
anything. UPS, FedEx, you got to tip those guys? They're always at your house.
Now that
they're
we're
delivering
online.
Yeah, you order every from day. Amazon twice a week.
I know, but they never get it right. The neighbor always has my package.
So what do you tip the FedEx guy?
I don't know.
$10? $20?
$20?
Probably $20.
Steve, what do you tip him? $20?
$20. I think that's pretty reasonable.
I want to know what Steve would do because I feel like he might have the right answer.
He's not tipping enough. No, he's got alligator arms. That's not happening. So back to the haircut for a second. Let's say Nicole cuts my hair. Do I tip her the price of a haircut?
I don't know.
For the
because
holidays?
You tip her every time you get a haircut, right?
Well, yeah.
So I think you just...
How much do you tip? Do you tip 20%? Or 15% or just like a set
amount? I tip 20% every time. I see these people every 2 weeks. I'm always giving them tips.
Jeez. It's no wonder. My mother used to make banana bread and just have it delivered
That's why
everywhere.
I make the jam.
Yeah. It's cheaper.
Yeah, but people are reluctant to eat anything that you've made.
You're right.
Unless they know you. Like, am my UPS driver going to eat my jam or your mom's banana bread? No. They're going to want $10.
My mother would deliver banana bread in the large soup cans. So she'd make it and she'd give them the can, which made sense now, right?
Yeah, no.
You have kids that are eating soup, get the big cans, and you put the banana bread in the can.
And she cooks it in the can?
Yeah, she cooks it in the can.
Does she put a different label on it?
She just takes the label off.
And then the banana bread has the rings around it?
It does.
Yeah. Interesting.
I mean, it works.
I love that.
It works.
It's a great idea, Betty Ann. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't thought about tipping yet. But you're going to have to do something extra.
Shoot.
I know.
Well, the champagne.
We'll make a list. We'll make a list now and have it done by December 31st.
I'm going to buy a case of Miller High Life and champagne bottles and just deliver those. I think I'm saving money.
Yeah, just buy a case. Here's the thing that I love. I just saw somebody here. I'm looking for something to buy, and they texted us and said the best deal on Amazon right now is an oven thermometer for $5.30.
Oh, I need one of those. It's
she ordered
break.
One for herself and one for all of her daughters.
Every one I have breaks.
I need a meat thermometer.
I need a meat thermometer. They always break. That's the problem. I want a meat thermometer that shows up on my smartphone. Those are the best. My buddy Pat Gallagher has one of those.
He does?
Yeah.
Let's text him and find
he's
out where he got it.
He's making meat, and he's got like this green egg type of grill smoker jobber. God, it's awesome.
Well, I love this too. Why do you tip these people? It's their job. I mean, that's a good point.
Because we're good people, and this is how they make money.
Yeah.
It's a service industry.
Okay.
We're saying thanks.
All right. You're right.
Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on 720 WGN. Pete and Jane in the Allstate Skyline Studios. After week six of the season, Loyola Academy was struggling, Jane. Then they managed to turn it up a notch. They knock off the number 19 seed, the number 14 seed, the number 6 seed, the number 2 seed. Then they beat the number 1 seed, previously unbeaten Brother Rice, to win the state championship. Loyola 13, Brother Rice 3, finishing the season at 11-3. On the phone with us, the head coach of Loyola Academy is John Holosak. Coach, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Coach, early in the season, do you say to yourself, man, this may not be our year? Did you have any of those thoughts ever?
Of course. We're human, and when things don't go your way, you definitely have some self-doubt. You doubt some of the things you're doing, but we do it as a program every year. We're putting in the time and trying to put our kids in the best place on the field, and we worked as hard as we ever have, starting like week 6. We thought it was playoff mode every week, and we really gave a commitment to the team as coaching staff, and we have great coaches, and the kids bought in. We got healthy at the right time, and we got better and better and really developed, and I think the defensive showing in the last 7 weeks, I think we gave up as a first team like total of like less than 15 points, so you knew there was a chance when the defense is playing that well.
Going into the state championship, and the playoff is every week, and this is the big game, what's the one thing that you said to that team right before you went on the court?
Oh, just try to enjoy it. I mean, I love the underdog role. We've been on the other side so many times and had some disappointing outings. So just play free, fast. There's no tomorrow. So just, you know, don't doubt. I would try to say, like, hey, at this point, the mistakes are on the coaches. Go out there and just play free. Enjoy your teammates. Enjoy this surroundings. I mean, how often do you get to play for a championship? And I kind of joke, like, at Loyola Academy, it seems like a little bit more than usual. But honestly, to be a champion, to be crowned a champion, it doesn't come that often in your life. So embrace it and go for it.
So, John, you have that speech ready to go before every game?
Well, there's always a mix, but there's certain things that stuck with this year. We talked about getting better every day. Our best football is tomorrow, and then at the last, you know, our last day, hey, our best football is today. And I think these kids really believed in it, and they really were gelling at the right time. So it was really awesome to see the momentum and the confidence grow and the execution get better and better, and the kids just owning it. So it was a fun year.
So let me see if I have this straight. You've taken Loyola to the playoffs every year since 2006. Is that right?
Yes.
So 2011, you came in second place. 2013, second place. 2015 was the undefeated season, 14-0. You were in first place. By the way, Jane and I had you on the show that year in 2015. I don't know if you remember. I think we were on the loop at the time. Jane.
Oh.
We had you on.
Yeah, 2015.
2016, second place. 2017, last year, second place. And this year, first place. I mean, that's pretty amazing. In 8 years, you've been to the championship 6 times and won twice.
Yeah, it's a credit to the people that I'm surrounded by. There's a ton of great families up here that send their kids to Loyola Academy knowing that they want the best out of them, and they support the administration, the teachers. Everyone seems to support it. We have a rigorous practice plan, and our kids, we demand, you know, the intellectual competence of the football season, as well as like the athletic, the physical part in the off season. So all this seems to work together here really well, and it's a special place.
Hey, Coach, I have to apologize. I think I said court when I meant to say field when you go out there. And I only have to correct myself because I was a high school cheerleader and we had to take a football test before we actually made the team.
What?
Yeah, we had to take a test on the rules and we had to know what was going on. And so, because I went to Andrew High School in Tinley Park and that was part of the way to make the cheerleading team.
So you had to take a test.
I have to apologize for calling. I know it's a field. I know what happens out there.
Well, I thought the South Side would be acclimated into good football. I'm sure it wasn't too hard of a test for you.
No, I always pass the test.
Yeah, you just don't want the cheers at the wrong time, I would imagine.
Right, well, that's why you have the captain, so you can be cheering the right place.
You just watch that
right
person.
Time. Yeah,
okay.
You listen to them.
We're talking to Loyola Academy head football coach John Holosak. Now, after winning these championships and going to the championship, people always speculate, are you going to jump to college? Do you have any aspirations to go and play coaching college football?
I have three children that are all going to be attending Loyola next year, and it's really a great place for me to raise a family. I'm originally from the south suburbs, moved to Chicago when I was playing in the NFL, and then kind of just found this place and just loved it, moved up here. So I'm situated really nicely, and I couldn't be happier. But I never say no to something that if it ever came to fruition. But I've been asked a few times. It wasn't the right timing. And it's something that I haven't had an agent, don't really want to deal with it. And frankly, it would have to be the perfect situation. And right now is not the time.
Okay. That's a great answer.
Yeah,
I like that.
Three kids going to Loyola Academy, you said, next year?
Yeah. I'll have three boys there, a freshman, a sophomore, and a senior.
Like, Dad, can I get some lunch money?
Do you get a discount for that? You get a discount?
Slight. The cafeteria is not discounted, though. That's too bad, because that's usually a heavy bill.
Yeah, sure it is.
My cousin is Phil Corey, and his son plays on your team. And it was interesting because we were following the game on Twitter and, of course, you know, getting the updates. But it's just crazy how many people follow your football program on Twitter and how active it was during the game.
Yeah, the social media. I'm not part of the Twitter universe. I'm not on any of the social media. But, yeah, it's something that we started a while ago, and I think there's a couple avenues to learn about every single play. It seems tiring on your thumbs, but we have guys dedicated to do that. So your cousin's kid, Phil, has part of the reason why we have so much success is because our scout team are the guys that the juniors, the sophomores that haven't matured yet or just a little bit away from the starting role, those guys give us a great look. And I'll tell you, Phil did a great job last week helping us out on the offensive side of the ball.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is really awesome. I didn't know that your cousin was part of the team. Coach, no school today because of the weather. When is the pep rally? Because that's what I love.
Oh, I don't think it's called a pep rally anymore. I don't know if it's not the politically correct version, but there's an honoring of the team. I think the cheerleaders, the Poms, and the band tomorrow.
Tomorrow is the big spirit
day. Wait a second. You can't say pep rally anymore?
I don't know if that's the right thing, but there's an assembly tomorrow. I know that.
Spirit assembly? Can we go there?
Yeah, I think
that's good. Okay. You got to say a prayer. So what happens now? Do you get some time off? Do the Jesuits let you take a vacation? What happens?
Well, that's the beauty about my job is really I kind of coordinate things in the summer for the summer sport camps. But, it's a little downtime. There's recruiting now, so I'm lucky enough to spend a lot of time with the college recruiters coming in and finding the right spots for the kids that want to move on to college from D3 to D2 to the scholarship programs. And we have a few scholarship guys, we think, and a lot of D3 schools will come through. So kind of escort them through the process. Once that clears, I'll have some time.
This is what I love about Chicago, because I always say you're one person away from somebody. Oh. We had you on the show years ago, Jane and I, and then I saw you at the Irish Fellowship Luncheon, which happens at the Hilton the first Friday, and I cornered you, and I wouldn't let you leave until you gave me your phone number.
Well, yeah, I'm your big friend, Bob Lanigan, and your other Herbert friends have something to do with that,
the
too.
Herbert brothers. I'm like, you're not leaving until
so
I get your phone number.
So you gave in and gave Pete your
text,
and Pete has been nonstop texting you.
Well, just
since.
A few times. And I knew I did not text you this week. I waited until yesterday.
Certainly there's no abuse of the gesture.
Okay, well, typically it does abuse that privilege when people give him
And now
number.
I feel like we've gone to another level in our relationship, so I can text you, you know, a few times a day. Which is
sure,
nice.
No problem.
Coach, congratulations, the Loyola Academy state champions. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
It does, and never gets tired of that title, but it's really a credit to the entire community and the players. The belief that they had this year is awesome.
Well, you're a good
congrats,
man. Congrats, and happy holidays.
Thank you. You too. All enjoy right. it.
That is Coach John Holosek from Loyola Academy in Wilmette.
I feel like teams that enjoy the process are the winning teams.
Did you notice that he never talked about himself during that entire interview? That's John Hollisek to a T.
Yeah, and even at the very end, he said the entire community, the school, the players, the other coaches were the ones that were credited for the win.
Great linebacker in Chicago, went on to U of I, and he had knee surgeries, or he would have had the Budkiss Award. Then he went on to the NFL. I want to say he played 7 years in the NFL, and now he's a coach. Yes, he did.
Maybe you can ask him about the MRIs.
So congrats to Loyola, and thanks to Coach John Hollisek. It's 720 WGN. WGN, Pete and Jane in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Does this count as Sunday Mass if we have this Monsignor on?
If we have the music on or just...
Tomorrow is Giving Tuesday, but you can start giving today to Catholic Charities in the celebration of giving that is going on now through December 31st. Remember, today is Cyber Monday. Tomorrow, Giving Tuesday, so people are asking for donations. Joining us from Catholic Charities is the President and CEO, Monsignor Michael Bolin. Monsignor Mike, how are you, sir?
Hi, Monsignor Mike.
How's yourself?
We are
good.
Great.
We are good. Suddenly, I feel like I'm in trouble.
I feel like I went into confessional.
Monsignor, what is the celebration of giving? What is this all about?
Well, this is a once a year that we do a toy drive and gift drive for our children. We have about 25,000 children in our care that have really nothing for Christmas, and so we try to raise awareness and try to get toys and try to get or gifts like sweaters or things for little kids, just to make their Christmas a little bit brighter, because they would not have anything if we did not have this celebration of giving.
Well, how can people get involved and how can they help?
Well, they're always looking for volunteers. If people or companies or families wanted to volunteer, we have a it hasn't been set yet for sure, but where the location is for our, we have like a toy room where the toys, we receive them, then we put them on shelves and then prepare them for the children in the different locations that we have. But they could always call our number, 312-655-7323, or go on our webpage at CatholicCharities.net, and there's all the information they want to know about our where all the locations are. We have 170 locations in Cook and Lake County. All of them could be drop-off places for our toy shower if they would like to do the toy shower or a celebration of giving.
That's fantastic. And this starts today through the end of the month. And Monsignor Mike, even though it's the Catholic Charities, you guys serve everyone, over a million people every year, not only this month, but you serve, it doesn't, you know, somebody in need, it doesn't discriminate against what your faith is.
Right, because we don't even ask the question, you know, so... for either for our staff when we hire them or as well as for our clients. So when people come in and they're hungry, we feed them. And if they need a place to stay, we try to find a place for them. We try to take care of the children or domestic violence shelters with moms and children. So, yeah, we take care of everyone. We serve, obviously, over a million people in Cook and Lake Counties every year. So in many ways, Catholic Charities is the safety net here in Cook and Lake Counties for all the people who are really struggling. That's why we're there.
Monsignor Mike, shouldn't that be the way that it should be all the time? I feel like nowadays everyone's so angry and we're just looking for something to set us off. Do you find that? I mean, I feel like religion gives people a sense of peace. And of course, this time of year, people want to get involved and give to make them feel better about themselves. But it just should be like this all the time.
It should be. And, you know, we're blessed here because, you know, we have over 15,000 volunteers throughout the year. We obviously could always use another 15,000, but we have 15,000. And it is amazing. I mean, just last Thursday we served about 350 people Thanksgiving meal here at Catholic Charities on LaSalle Street. And, I mean, it's just for a lot of the volunteers, we had over 150 volunteers that morning or the afternoon. And, you know, it makes your Thanksgiving a lot different when you're here and you realize you're celebrating or really serving and giving thanks to God for your blessings, but also, you know, serving people who are really struggling, those who live in the streets, those who live in the challenged environment. So it does make one, I think the more we learn to give, or not learn to give, but get a chance to give,
right.
And that's what Catholic Charities gives a lot of opportunities for volunteer opportunities all throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
And is the Catholic Charities here in Chicago and Cook and Lake County, is this the biggest organization in the United States? Like, do we have the largest?
Yeah, Catholic Charities Chicago is the largest in the United States, actually in the world, as far as being a direct service agency. So,
oh, wow.
We actually serve a million people actually through shelters, through food. We actually go through the city of Chicago and work with the city, but we go around and anyone who is homeless on the streets, we have five vans every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to go and invite them to come with us and to go to a shelter or to go someplace to get them off the streets. And especially this time of year, it's just really critical. But yeah, we do a lot of things that are kind of behind the scenes in many ways to try to help people, especially those, the people we serve really are the most challenged, you know, in the sense that, so our clients are pretty much, for the most part, very yep. poor, and we try to work with them and walk with them, journey with them, and try if we can to help them move towards self-sufficiency.
And the Black Tie Spirit Ball on December 7th, is that information on CatholicCharities.net?
Yeah, it sure is. Yes, okay. And on December 7th, so this year at the Hilton, so it should be a lot of fun.
That looks like a big fun party. You're a very busy man.
I sure am. It's a lot of fun, though.
It's a lot of fun being the president and CEO because you're doing good things for the Catholic Charities, but yet you're out and about, you're meeting people, and you're getting people to volunteer and help.
Right, and actually you see the good side, you know, as Peter mentioned, I mean, the good thing is you really get the chance to see the generosity of people, the time that they spend. You know, we serve dinner here 5 nights a week on the 721 North of Sale, but we also serve those meals in like 9 different locations, you know, throughout the week in Cook and Lake County. So you really do see a lot of great things. And people are very generous. Obviously, we always hope they would be more generous, but we are here very grateful for their incredible generosity that allows us to be able to serve so many people with compassion and dignity.
And, Monsignor, I have a sister that's a sister. She is a nun that lives in New York. And, first of all, I feel like I have a straight shot to heaven. But I asked her one time, I said, Beth, when did you know your calling? When did you know? And she said to me, she said, when did you know that you that Sarah was the one? When you know, which kind of made sense, but didn't really make sense, but it kind of makes sense to me. So when did you know that your calling was being a priest?
Well, I kind of thought about it when I was young, in grammar school and stuff, but then I went off and went to college. I went to St. Xavier College on the South Side. I managed a McDonald's for about 9 years, and then then after that, during that period of time, I decided in college to go to the seminary and was then ordained in 1986. So it became clear the older I got. So it's really great.
Okay. I guess when you know, you know.
I think
yes.
that's a great question. I always like to hear the answer, and I like when, Pete, you talk about your sister.
Right. I mean, how did you know Kurt was the one?
Yeah, you just know.
You just kind of know.
Yeah.
When you know, you know. Monsignor Mike, thanks for coming on. People can go to CatholicCharities.net or 312-655-7323. The celebration of giving starts today through December 31st.
And are tickets still available for the Spirit of St. Nicholas Ball?
Yes, they sure are. And all the information is on our webpage as well.
Got it. Thank you, Monsignor Mike.
Thank you.
All right.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Thanks. Bye.
This also counts for confession, too, besides Sunday Mass.
Well, it was sort of a little bit echoey, so I did feel like I was in a confession booth. And you can't see the priest, and you're like, oh, I'm sorry, forgive me for my sins.
You know, 12 years at Catholic school, I thought I was in trouble as soon as I heard his voice. It's 720 WGN.
You look great.
Thanks. So do you. I'm sorry things got so screwed up.
I'm sorry, too.
I just want you to know that when we were together, I was really happy.
She's living inside my heart now.
God, I love Demi Moore in that movie.
I have the chills.
I love it.
Thinking about the scene.
I got sucked into YouTube yesterday just watching it. This Tuesday night at the Museum of Broadcast Communications at Kinzie and State, I am hosting a special screening of About Last Night at 7 o'clock with a Q&A afterward with producers and the man that wrote the script, and he joins us today. It is Tim Kazurinsky. It's good to see you.
Good.
Thanks
morning,
for coming
Pete.
In.
How you doing?
Can you guys just hold me during this Bob Seger song?
This is what happens when you watch the movie,
this is nice.
Every time.
Uh-huh. I love you, but I love this movie. I forgot how much I loved it.
Yeah, I saw it again recently. It holds up. It's pretty great. Yeah. Pretty.
How did you write this movie?
It actually wrote it 13 full drafts of this thing and over the course of 7 years before it finally got made. So it was my writing partner at the time, Denise DeClue, her kid, you know, thought that's what his mother did for a living was rewrite It was actually called Sexual Perversity in Chicago.
Right.
It's a David Mamet one-act play. Yeah. And for, you know, so for 7 years, it was Sexual Perversity in Chicago. Then when it was finished, the networks would not run advertising for a film with such a salacious title.
Oh, yeah.
So we had to change it to About Last Night. And I had so much hard a time remembering that title because it was kind of amorphous. I mean, I had to write it down on a piece of paper and go, "What's what the new title of your movie?" I'm like, can't remember.
And now it's a timeless movie. But what you're saying is it took 7 years for it to actually happen.
7 years.
So people who are wanting to write and they wanting something to break, you just don't give up.
Yeah, that's it. You know, never give up. Never give up. You know, it's like Winston Churchill said, never give up. And you hang in there. Well, much of this is thanks to the producers, Stuart Oaken and Jason Brett, who, you know, getting it made, that's the huge thing.
Sure.
Because, you know, we just handled the funny and the words.
Yeah.
They got to sell it and get it made and, you know, get the money and get the studios to make it. And they hung in there and they, you know, they're going to be there tomorrow night too. It's exciting.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to do a little Q&A.
I'm your host, buddy. You're looking at
it. I know. Pete is hosting the gig tomorrow night. It's a fundraiser for the Museum of Broadcast Communications.
And what a great place to have this event, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And tickets are only $15. You can get them online at, museum.tv.
But are seats still available?
Seats, it's general admission. You can go to my Facebook page. All the info is right on the front page.
Will there be popcorn?
Yes, maybe.
I am not on Facebook. I am.
What do you mean you're not
the
on
last
Facebook?
American. I am not. I have not spent a minute of my life.
What, 4 or 5 billion people on the planet and 2.5 are on Facebook? How come you're not on Facebook?
I'm not.
We'll sign you up. It takes 22
seconds. I'm old.
I admire the people not on Facebook because then they're not spending their time getting sucked into it. Like, you're the second person in 2 days that told me they're not on Facebook.
You know what? It's not a political thing. It's my daughter, Zoe, said to me, "Dad, if you go on Facebook, you would never get another minute's work done in your life. You know so many people."
Yeah.
She said it with such clarity. I went, "Oh, yeah.
You're right.
I would." So I have not 1 minute on the face place.
So you said it took you 7 years to write About Last Night.
Oh, so to rewrite it.
To rewrite it.
Rewrite it.
Okay. So were you writing? Did you start writing this when you were on SNL? You were on what, 81 to 84?
Before that. You're I started kidding. Writing in 1979, and it was released in 86. It took 7 years. And I think my being on SNL helped get that thing made.
Right. So you were at Second City back in the late 70s. Who was in your class at Second City?
I was on stage at Second City. At that time was Mary Grant. Gross.
Okay.
George Wendt had already just left. He was off. He hadn't gotten Cheers yet, but he was out in L.A. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Belushi.
Yep.
Let's see. Audrey Neenan had left. It was Bruce Kelly, Bruce Jarko, Nancy Kelly, and Rob Reilly.
Okay.
And the lovely Mary Gross.
You spent 4 years on SNL?
I spent three and a half seasons on SNL, three years at Second City. That was the most fun.
What a great experience.
Second City was more fun than SNL.
Really? Well, SNL, everybody.
The pressure is
Did they just pluck you out of Second City? Is that how that was working back then?
Exactly. And I didn't, weirdly, because I was an ad man with Leo Burnett at the time, and Second City hired me out of the workshops, and I did an audition there, and weirdly, I didn't know, but John Belushi had recommended me for the show, and they came and saw me. I never auditioned. I was not aware they were in the house, which is great because I would have just been an idiot.
Right.
Yeah. I don't audition well. So they slipped into town, took a look, and hired me unbeknownst.
Now, I read that when you were on SNL, you wanted to quit.
Yeah.
John talked you out of it. Is that true?
John and Judy, literally, I quit because it was like crazy that first season.
Well, it's cutthroat, right?
Yeah. Michael O'Donoghue was running the show, and
I forgot. Lauren left the show for
Lauren
a time.
Lauren left, yeah. Dick Ebersole produced it for 5 years.
Yeah. That was
which
the
nobody
whole time
remembers,
you, were there.
You know.
Yeah.
You had Eddie Murphy, Joe Piscopo.
Well, people remember
Julie
your
Dreyfus.
Cast. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a great cast. But Lauren never reran those shows. Because you get no money, so why does he want to run Dick Ebersole shows and reruns?
Shoot, so you're not making any scratch on cable right
no,
now.
No, I thought I'd put the kids through college on the residuals, and they never reran them.
Tim Kazurinsky, some of the characters that you played on SNL, Billie Jean King?
Yep.
You know, now that I see you, there is a resemblance.
I was just going to say that. I thought, well, I can't say that out loud.
I did play Judy Garland once.
You played Hitler?
I played Hitler.
Okay. Ozzy Osbourne?
Ozzy.
Gary Hart?
Yeah.
Mo Howard?
Mo, yeah.
Okay, I can see one of the Three Stooges. You played Gandhi in a bit called Gandhi and the Bandit.
Yes. Yeah, but I also used to do a Gandhi sort of character as the these great unanswered questions of the universe. This had a guru named Having a Good Time Vishnu over here, and he would answer these great unanswered questions of the universe. But it was also done in an Indian accent, and I never got hammered like Apu did.
Right. I mean, could you get away with that today? I think on SNL, maybe.
On SNL only.
Yeah. I also played a Puerto Rican character on there, which would not happen anymore. I was a Wayne Huevos, which means...
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Thank you for the hand gesture.
Pantomiming.
Right. The universal gesture for Huevos.
But I was never... I wasn't a mean Indian guy. I was...
You were a happy...
I was
Indian
a happy,
guy.
Kind of charming, sweet.
Did you create those characters from Second City and take them with you, or did they kind of evolve as you were in New York?
The couple I brought over from Second City, one was the Dr. Jack Badovsky, the guy who had the diseases on the flip cards, which is had all the phobias and amputations, and I would have a list of like 35, 40 ridiculous diseases that, of course, the most popular one was the orgasms one that was played in bars around America for 20 years.
Of course.
But no, it was... It was fun. In retrospect, it was fun. When you're in there, it's a lot of hard work.
Yeah. You also played Henry Thomas, Elliot from E.T., which is, you look like him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually spent that week babysitting Drew Barrymore.
What?
Yeah, she kind of took a shine to me and her mother, Ildiko Jade, and she was 8. And just
right.
The cutest thing. And
I forgot about that.
Yeah. I thought, oh, God, I hope her life turns out okay. She's done great.
She's had some ups and downs.
But she, for the most part, she's still relevant. She's doing well.
Yeah, I loved her. She's great. She was a great kid, and she turned out, grew up to be a great woman.
What stands out when you look back at your years on SNL?
Wow.
I mean, the good stuff. I know you think of the times when it was cutthroat and you were trying to get a sketch on the air and someone was backstabbing you.
That is exactly it. When you're up against it, when, you know...
It's tough.
When Lorne has left and, you know, you're the new kids and the pressure was really horrendous. But it's sort of like... That you forget the pain of childbirth, otherwise women wouldn't have another baby. If men had babies, there'd never be more than two in a family, I'm telling you.
Well, paint a picture for me, because you were ready to quit, and Belushi calls you up. John Belushi calls you up and says, let me talk you down. He comes over to your house and has a talk with you?
No, he said, I'll drive you to the airport. So he literally, I had a bag packed. And he and Judy showed up in a car, in a limo, and said to take me to the airport. And then they took me to 62nd Street to a psychiatrist. Judy's shrink said, and John's rationale was, if you want to quit this show, you're crazy. Because you have a chance to have access to network airwaves and, you know.
Everything.
You have something to say as a writer, as a comedian, and you're going to give that shot up. You know, I'm not giving up that shot, as they say in Hamilton. And he was basically saying, you're giving up that shot. So there's something wrong. So you got to go talk to this guy. And it was the mind you, within a year, John was dead.
Yeah.
And John should have gone in and talked to the guy as well.
With you, yeah.
Right, yeah. And which I think would have made Judy very happy. But he didn't. And we lost John at age 32. Love that man, and he's now been gone 36 years. He's been dead longer
crazy?
Than he was alive. Yeah,
he died when he was 32. A lot of people just see John Belushi, funny guy, you know, the Blues Brothers, but
I don't think of an age.
Very loyal friend. I mean, we've talked to Dan Aykroyd numerous times. I mean, Dan still misses him to this day. He misses his friendship.
John shows up in my dreams from time to time, usually trying to borrow $50 and stealing my pack of Marlboros.
Was he the same guy that we would see on TV or in the movies as he would be in person? I mean, obviously, he's a guy that's taking you to a psychiatrist and not to the airport because he wants you to stay.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a soft, tender guy.
I mean, who does that? I mean, first off, he had recommended me for the job, and right. when I try to quit, he hijacks me and right. shanghais me and takes me to a shrink and says, go talk to this guy. I mean, he was that kind of guy.
Who does that?
He was a very, very loyal friend.
Right.
And also, the most wonderful guy to hang with. His best buddy was Tino Insana. I don't know if you ever saw the movie Neighbors. The first Neighbors.
Yes, of course.
Before the...
you were in that movie, right?
Yeah, with it was
yep.
Aykroyd and Belushi.
Yep.
And... I played a tow truck driver that kept pulling their cars out of the swamp, and my son was played by Tino Insana, who was 2 years older than me at the time. But when we were shooting the movie on Staten Island, every night we would just go back to John and Judy's house and order in pizzas and, you know, turn on the TV and, you know, eat pizza. And John would shut the sound off and do this dubbing where
oh my
God. We'd all play the voices of the characters on the movie, and it was so much fun, I tell you.
John's wife, Judy, has been on, and she said that exact same thing. He would turn down the sound, and he would come up
he
with characters.
Characters.
Yeah, oh, he would God. Do voices to TV.
Yeah. And you'd get, you know, we'd love to do that dubbing thing, and he was so brilliant at it. And then he'd get you laughing. You'd be laughing so hard, you thought, I'm going to die. I'm not going to be able to get enough oxygen.
No, I was wondering, what is it like? You were laughing, you know, those 4 years on SNL. You're friends with these funny people. You're a funny guy. I mean, you just spent your life laughing.
Yeah, and trying to make other people laugh, because Lord knows, do we need some laughter now?
Yeah, we do.
Tim Kazurinsky in studio about last night. Special screening tomorrow at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. I'm going to take a break. We're going to talk a little bit about this movie and what people can expect tomorrow night.
Fantastic.
All right. It's 720 WGN.
You called her twice? Dan, never call a broad more than once a week. Never, ever, ever. You know what your problem is? Your face. You're too good looking. These girls go on with you and they get nervous, man. They feel dumpy. Best thing that happened to you, Danny, is an industrial accident.
About last night's special screening tomorrow night at the Museum of Broadcast Communications at Kinzie and State. You can go to my Facebook page and get tickets there. Tim Kazurinsky, former SNL cast member who wrote the movie, is in studio with us. What is it about this movie? Is it because it's all Chicago? Is it because maybe it was made when I was in college or I've been to those bars? What is it?
I think it's
a love story.
It's a love story.
Oh,
it's it's the timeless thing of, you know, the single scene. And when David Mamet wrote this one act play, Sexual Perversity in Chicago, things haven't changed that much.
It hasn't.
No.
It's all the same.
It's still very, very similar. The bar scene, it's a one night stand that gets out of hand.
One night stand that gets out of hand. I like that.
When David is writing the one act play, and then you and your writing partner, you saw the play, you heard about the play, and you took it. Then you develop this into a full movie, writing the entire script. Like, where does the character development come from? Is it his four prime characters and you add to it?
David had written a screenplay for Paramount, and it had been rejected. Hard to believe. He's been one of the greatest playwrights.
Right,
yeah.
America's ever produced.
Never.
The one act is 59 pages of very heavy. It's pretty dark. It's
yes.
It's pretty dark, and that was not what the studio wanted.
No,
so
we want a romantic comedy.
Yeah,
with
so
fun.
We went in and tried to we just like you're doing a rehab on a house, just on
but took the same central premise. Yeah.
Yeah. And we wanted to be a little more hopeful. We wanted it to be a love story. We took out all the religion, all the parental stuff, and tried to make
a
universal experience for a dating. You know, it wanted to be anybody, any man, on any Rush Street type area.
I mean, it's all the same today, like you said. The only difference is that we have, they can swipe left and swipe right now.
Yeah, yeah.
You're still meeting people out there and you're still going to mothers.
Yeah, it's all those dating apps and eHarmony.
But you still have to meet out.
You still have to meet out.
You still have to meet out. Tim Kazurinsky in studio. We're going to make you stick around for at least another half hour. We're going
to
talk
about
about last night, tomorrow night at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. Again, if you want tickets, go to my Facebook page. We also have to talk about the Schwedy Ball.
Got to talk about Schwedy Ball.
SCHWEDDYBall.com, which is coming up again.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that after the top of the hour. Coming up, the stories that matter with Doma T from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on 720 WGN.